Hi again, and welcome to Emran's Podcast, episode 87. Today is Wednesday, May 7th, 2008. And today is also the day before I go in for my custom LASIK eye surgery. I have to be there at 9:30 in the morning. And surprisingly enough, I'm actually not nervous about it particularly, just a little bit. But normally I get nervous at the thought of a dentist appointment, and this is a much bigger deal than that. So I have no idea why that is. I've tried not to think about it too much, but if that's what it is, it's the first time in my life that's ever worked, so I don't know. But because of that, I won't be recording again on Friday. This is the one time this week, so I figured I might as well do it in the middle of the week. Now, of course, as it happens, this is the busiest week of the month for me. So poor planning, I suppose. And I really don't have the time to do this. However, it's driving me absolutely nuts this month, and quite frankly, I need some time away. So I thought I'd spend it talking with you. Now, on today's episode, I have some important updates about the podcast. And then I also have some updates on some things I've mentioned in earlier podcasts, a couple items from the news, and then go on to comments. But first is the update on the podcast. Now, I've talked before about trying to work out what to do about my podcast because I keep running out of storage space on Podomatic. Podomatic is a really dodgy service. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I've been pondering what to do. And I've been asking a lot of other podcasters what they do and what they recommend and so on. And a lot have recommended Libsyn. And I did consider that because so many podcasters seem to like it. However, I also read plenty of comments and forums and things about people complaining about Libsyn being down all the time, or being down frequently enough that they complain about it, I suppose. So in the end, I decided to follow Tim Carmel's advice, and I'm setting up a space on GoDaddy. It's being hosted by GoDaddy, and it has a new domain name, and it'll ultimately have a new feed to iTunes. But none of that needs to bother you at the moment, because this is a long-term process. My account at Podomatic doesn't expire until near the end of June. And at that time, what I'm planning on doing is allowing the account to revert back to a free account, which means I don't get any statistics, there's very little storage space, blah, 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 blah. But the point is that even those of you who don't get around to updating the feed won't miss out, at least initially. Ultimately, I'll probably drop Podomatic completely, but that's further down the track. What the procedure is right now I'm still in the process of getting the site set up, and on that site will be all of my episodes available for download, going all the way back to episode one. And I will, probably have some other audio files as well, come to think of it. But anyway, I'm getting that set up, and that takes some time, and I need to get my feed set up and organized, and then eventually I'll report that to iTunes and get that in process. So there'll be a second Emran's podcast on iTunes. And once all that's in place, then I'll start telling you how to change your feeds so that you can stay subscribed through iTunes if that's what you prefer, or if you use some other feed catcher that you can get it that way. But at the moment, as I say, you don't need to do anything. Everything continues on as it has been for a while yet. You may be interested to know that this new procedure is going to cost me about half of what an annual account on Podomatic cost me. So it's quite a savings, actually, and a lot more flexible. It's like a gajillion times more storage space and bandwidth, too, for that matter. So I think it's going to be better for everyone. And they've got like a 99%-something-or-other uptime guarantee. Although I don't know what a guarantee means in that business. But be that as it may, it has got to be more reliable than Podomatic. And so I'm hoping that this will solve some of the feed issues that I've had in the past with people being unable to access my podcast or episodes being incomplete in their downloads or what have you. But as I say, you don't need to do anything at the moment. Those of you who have bookmarked amrans.podomatic.com will eventually need to change that. Or if you have linked to that site, you'll need to change that link. You may want to go ahead and do that now. You could change it to amrans.com for the time being, because that will eventually redirect to the new site. What is involved in all this is I'm splitting the blog and the podcast. Now, you might recall, longtime listeners may recall that way back in the beginning, I was wondering whether or not I should do that. And one of the reasons I didn't at the time is I was using Podomatic, and Podomatic doesn't allow any flexibility in how you lay out the page, or very little flexibility. And I wanted to be able to do more with the blog page than just what's in the MP3 file notes. And Adam from This Boy Elroy was one who said that he liked having other blog posts on the same spot, because then when he's done leaving comment, he could go read other things. And so for a long time, I just left it alone. But it's become increasingly obvious to me that the blog and the podcast are really very separate animals. And very often, they have nothing to do with each other. I mean, sometimes in the podcast, I refer to something that I've posted about, but by and large, they really have nothing to do with each other. The people who read my blog, and many of them don't listen to the podcast. And vice versa, many people who listen to my podcast never go to my blog, probably most. So it seems kind of silly to have them both linked together like that, because it makes it difficult for my blog, and it makes people who are only interested in the podcast have to go wade through a whole bunch of other things to find the show notes for that particular episode if they don't do it, go to it right away. So in a sense, I guess this is a bit like some other podcasters, like Archer, for example, does, where there's a separate blog and a separate podcast blog, essentially. And that's what I'm doing. Now, at the moment, that is under a separate domain, but eventually Amrens.com will refer back to it, but not for a while yet. And so as I say, you don't need to do anything at the moment. You may want to start redirecting any Podomatic links to Amrens.com, because that will cover. You won't have to change it again if you don't want to. And but apart from that, I'll keep you up to date, and I'll let you know when you can start changing feeds or whatever else. It will mean that ultimately I will, of course, lose all of my lovely 5-star reviews on iTunes, but that's the breaks, because I needed to have a system that was more stable and allowed more storage space, more bandwidth even, and this just seemed the way to go. And I'm also trying to future-proof it as much as possible, so that if I have to make any further changes in the future, none of you will need to worry about it. So that's where things stand, and that's what I'm sort of in the middle of right now. Now, I wanted to give you a couple of updates on previous episodes. Last week, I was talking a bit about petrol, and after an email from Scott, I was mentioning, he was mentioning the Australian petrol monitoring system, I suppose you'd call it, where the petrol stations have to post their prices 24 hours in advance, which basically gives people the opportunity to find the cheapest petrol and make sure that it's there, and they can decide if they have to go that night, or if they're going to go in the morning, or what have you. Well, apparently, New Zealand is now looking at a similar system, and I don't exactly know how it would work. I mean, they haven't gotten that far yet, but they are looking at some sort of probably web-based system where petrol stations will report their price, and it'll be locked in for 24 hours so that motorists can decide when they're going to get their petrol, basically. But it's all because of the volatile pricing of petrol. I mean, it goes up quickly and comes down slowly. And it's been getting so high that, as I predicted, another update, as I predicted, the government has delayed the petrol tax related to the Kyoto Protocols. Some estimates were that it would have added about 8 cents a liter in tax, and they have delayed it to 2011. And the New Zealand Green Party is very upset about this, as you might imagine. And I've actually blogged about this, speaking of the blog, and I'm not going to go into a great bunch of detail about that. They're threatening to torpedo another Kyoto-related thing that they want because they're upset about this. But anyway, so that's a couple of updates from last week's episode. And also, the iPhone is now coming to New Zealand. Vodafone announced that Vodafone is like one of the world's largest cell phone companies, and they're biggest in New Zealand. They've announced that they've come to an agreement with Apple, and they're going to soon be introducing the iPhone into the New Zealand market. Now, I happen to think that the only reason that came about was because Telecom New Zealand, the other company, had sort of toyed publicly with the idea of bringing in iPhone on their network, because they're in the midst of switching to a GSM network. Now, the Vodafone network is already 3G, so I think that they may be waiting for the new iPhones before they actually introduce them, but I don't know. I am not in any big hurry to get one, in case you're wondering. Nigel has said that he wants one. He has a Trio for work, which he doesn't really like very much. It's really buggy, and it has to be reset all the time because it's always crashing. But that figures it runs a version of Windows. And but he has an iPod Touch, and so if he gets an iPhone, I'll probably get his iPod Touch. So that's a couple of updates from some things that have some updates from previous episodes. Now, there are a couple of items in the news I wanted to to go over. One was just today, and it was from NPR in the U.S., which said that the FBI was searching the Office of Special Counsel building. And I don't know if you've seen this at all, but basically their target is Special Counsel Scott J. Block. And the office oversees protection for whistleblowers. And if people complain about some sort of discrimination in the federal government, it goes through that office. Well, when he was appointed in 2004, his first act was to announce that his office would not pursue any allegations related to sexual orientation discrimination. Basically, he was saying it was open season on gay people, is what it amounts to. Well, that leaked out, that news leaked out. And Block apparently felt that it was the career professionals, which means the non-political appointees, who he blamed. So he set up a field office in Detroit, and he told them they could either accept a transfer to this Detroit office or resign. Well, that's illegal under the Hatch Act to do that. Then the inspector general started investigating because it's political interference. And as that went along further, he called in an outside service to purge the office computers. Now, he claims that there were viruses, and so they had to be purged. But at the very least, that's interfering with a federal investigation. And on the face of it, it appears to be obstruction of justice, which is another crime. So the FBI raided the offices. They shut down the office email system, which is nationwide, of course. And they've seized the computers, they've interviewed Block, and a grand jury has issued subpoenas to office, to department staff. So it looks like another Bush regime person is going down in flames. And of course, I can't shed any tears over that, particularly when they have an anti-gay history. And in a totally different vein, from time to time, I like to tell you about things that are going on in Australia as well as New Zealand. And there was an article today, not today, when was this? Day before yesterday, about a survey that had been conducted by a beverage company about Australian men. And there was a survey of 1,000 Australian men, and they were trying to rate their blokiness, basically how manly they are. And they found that among the findings were that only 5% of Australian men regularly play a game of football with their friends. Almost 50% admit that it's been months since they tinkered with their car, and shed ownership has dropped 27% over the course of a generation. Now, in Australia and New Zealand, it used to be sort of stereotypical that a man would have a shed out in the back where they would tinker with things and hang out, drink beers, whatever, listen to the radio, who knows. And that's becoming less and less common, although that has less to do with the changing men than it does, I think, with changing real estate, because sections are getting smaller, there's less space for a shed, and people are busier. They just don't have time for that anymore. But the survey also found that apparently concern for skincare is growing among Australian men, and they're not afraid to wear pink. Well, that set off a firestorm with the old guard. There's a guy in rugby league. Now, rugby league is one of the many descendants of rugby. Rugby is the granddaddy of the games, and descended from that is rugby league, American football, Aussie rules, and all those kinds of things. And anyway, his name, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's Mal Meninga or something like that. And he was outraged by the findings. He said, and this is a quote in the article, "Australian men should be ashamed of themselves. We've become a nation of pansies. It's time to toughen up and get real. Otherwise, our nation runs the risk of turning into a joke." And of course, the first thing I thought was, you're the joke, you motherfucker. He says, "In my day, we played to the bitter end instead of getting sent off if you broke a fingernail." He is just such an asshole. And I thought that that was the thing that was funny about the article, more than what it was actually talking about, was this notion that Australian men, or New Zealand men, because they're similar in some ways, were ever like that, let alone that they should be like that now. The guy's delusional, but be that as it may. The article had a list of 25 skills every man should know that was from Popular Mechanics. I'm just trying to see if it says when that was published. It doesn't say that, as near as I can see. But here are the top 25 things that every man should know, according to Popular Mechanics. 1. Patch a radiator hose. 2. Protect your computer. 3. Rescue a boater who has capsized. 4. Frame a wall. 5. Retouch digital photos. Hey. 6. Back up a trailer. 7. Build a campfire. 8, fix a dead outlet, a wall PowerPoint. 9, navigate a map with a map and compass. 10, use a torque wrench. 11, sharpen a knife. 12, perform CPR. 13, fillet a fish. 14, maneuver a car out of a skid. 15, get a car unstuck. 16, backup data. 17, paint a room. 18, mix concrete. 19, clean a bolt-action rifle. 20, change oil and filter. 21, hook up an HDTV. 22, bleed brakes. 23, pedal a canoe. 24, fix a bike flat tire, presumably. 25, extend your wireless network. Now, I shouldn't laugh at them because I should. This is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. I thought it was funny that they have this mix of these old-timey 1950s male stereotypical things mixed in with all these modern gadgety kind of things, sort of. Hook up an HDTV, okay, that's sort of a blokey kind of thing. But where's the video games? That's not listed in there anywhere. Or transferring songs to MP3 or whatever, or to your iPod or whatever. That's not in there. But, I mean, some of these are just absurd, like clean a bolt-action rifle. I mean, come on, in a city? Well, I suppose some people probably do use them in the city. But no, it's just, a lot of these things are just stupid. Framing a wall. There aren't many people who should be framing a wall. There are things called codes that have to be complied with, and an amateur isn't going to know what those codes are, much less how to comply with them. But I just thought that was one of the funniest things I ever heard. This is the list more than anything, I suppose. But I am now going to go on to comments. And first up, I have a phone comment.
Hey, Arthur, this is Tom. Just wanted to know I listened to your latest episode along with Mr. Joe as we're making our way to Indianapolis to do my mini marathon. And I just want to let you know regarding your LASIK is that you're definitely going to want somebody to be able to drive you home. And then you're basically, because when I had my work done, they actually gave me something to basically sleep, because they want you to sleep as much as possible that very first day or the day of, and then you can basically back to normal the very next day. So I just want you to know that you really should not drive. You should not let him, you should not do anything after the procedure is done. So I hope it goes well for you, and keep up the great show, and talk to you later. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Tom. And no, I'm not going to be alone or drive. Nigel had asked his mother to come up to stay with, basically to babysit me for the day after the surgery because he had to go back to a conference that afternoon. Well, as it turns out, that's been canceled, so he's taking the entire day Thursday off. And he was always going to take me to the appointment and then bring me back home and then go back to work. Well, now he's not going to. As for the sleeping or whatever, I don't know. I'm going to play it by ear, see what they tell me to do. I know that they said that it healed, basically the procedure, you're healed in 12 hours, which I found astounding, but that's what they said. And so I'll just play it by ear, or by eye, as the case may be, I suppose. But don't worry, I will not be driving. As a matter of fact, I'm not intending on driving until they give me the all clear. As I understand, I'm supposed to go back the next day to be evaluated, and I will ask at that time if it's okay for me to drive. But until they tell me I can, I'm certainly not going to. But now I'm going on to the written comments. And first up was Archer. Now, I should say that this was on an ordinary blog post. It's not with the show notes for that episode. And the episode was called Slice of My Life. The post was called Slice of My Life. And the reason for that was just I was busy that day and hadn't had a chance yet to put up the show notes. So that's one of the things that's going to be fixed by this new system, because I can set it so that the episode and the show notes are posted at the same time. And I think ultimately it's going to work out much better. But Archer said, where's the post for the latest show? Well, I just explained it. Did I miss it? No, I hadn't put it up yet. I got the download, but don't see the posting. Am I doing something wrong? Well, no, because of the way I used to post, I would post through Podomatic and then later on go back and do the show notes on Blogger. Well, it's not going to be that way under the new system. Anyway, here's my comment for your latest show. So glad you're back. I thought you were pod fading. I think more podcasters are feeling the same way we are about the whole iTunes reviews and why we podcast. I haven't had any issues downloading your show or anyone else's podcast lately. And then I just said, thanks, I've just been busy today. I'll post the show notes shortly. And, of course, I did. So going over there now, the first comment was from Blue Boy, who said, listening to your episode now, missed you. So, did you like Catch and Release? I didn't at first, but actually fell in love with the movie. My boyfriend doesn't like it. Just wondering what you guys thought. And I said, and Blue Boy is actually Ryan from the Way We See It podcast. It's also sometimes on Terminally Single with Tim. And I said, yes, we did like the movie. Not a great film, of course, but good entertainment. Sometimes that's enough. And for me, sometimes it is. I mean, I like to see a great movie as much as anybody else, but sometimes I'm perfectly happy to have a movie that's just simply entertaining and nothing more. But next up was Roger Green, who said, regarding the gas tax, it's part of the U.S. political conversation with McCain and Clinton in favor and Obama opposed, because a lot of economists suggest that consumption would go up, so the price would go up. So it'd save consumers about $30 for the summer. But cost the government millions of dollars. I think Obama's position is bold. Gas is $3.60 a gallon nationally, last I checked. Whether this will go over well with the public, I just don't know. With the Indiana and North Carolina primaries coming up soon, it'll be interesting how he does. By the way, you downloaded well on iTunes this time. Yay! And I said, yeah, I don't think the gas tax proposals make any sense. A poll found that 70% of voters thought it was just pandering, so they're on to it. We all know that any tax cut would be wiped out by oil companies raising prices and profits. Glad the download worked this time. It's sort of ironic that just as I was getting everything sorted to move everything, all of a sudden all the downloads seem to be working perfectly. But anyway, the whole gas tax thing bothers me. And when it comes to petrol and taxes, I tend to support more of a windfall profits tax on the oil companies than I do any movement on petrol taxes at the pump. And the reason is that I've written about this extensively in my blog. I haven't talked about it a whole lot in the podcast. But I believe that there's something fundamentally wrong with a modern business paradigm. Basically, the way modern business works now is that you have to maximize return to shareholders, which means the profit you give to the shareholders, and nothing else matters. Now, most of the shareholders are in it for greed. They want to get rich. So they don't care about how that profit is generated. And the company can't care about how that profit is generated because their only concern is maximizing profits given to shareholders. If they don't, the shareholders will vote them out. So I'm talking about the directors in this case. And the executives will be fired if they don't meet profit expectations and all those kinds of things. So there's a whole lot of motivation to maximize profit. So environment doesn't matter. Society's best interests don't matter. Employee treatment doesn't matter. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is maximizing profits. And clearly that's what's happening with the petroleum companies because they're all making these obscene profits and investing almost nothing back into their own industry or into alternative fuels research, all those kinds of things. And they have a PR spin machine like you wouldn't believe to talk about how wonderful they are and how they're investing all this money into solar energy. I mean, all of our BP stations in New Zealand, and I imagine in other countries too, have solar power collectors on the roof, and they have this little thing telling you how many houses that their solar collectors would power. I presume that they're connected to the grid that way. And you're supposed to feel good about BP for doing that. Well, I'm sorry, I don't, because it's too expensive to have solar collectors on house roofs at the present. BP ought to be and the other companies, not just them, not picking on them exclusively, ought to be helping make that happen. So personally, I would like to see a windfall profits tax on all of the petroleum companies with the tax going specifically to alternative energy research and not on ethanol, because that's a whole issue in itself. But I quite frankly don't think that's going to happen because there isn't any political will with conservatives dominating both parties. But it's just me. And the final comment on the previous episode was from Trillion25, who said, a bit of subject, but I was just thinking, oh, sorry, I skipped one. I'm backing up. The next one was from Spikey, who said, this is in response to the how to prep for a move to New Zealand. Something I found outrageously useful was to come here for a visit and arrange to meet with people who work in your field. Folks are normally very happy to take the time to sit and have a coffee and give you insights into the local scene and people considering the move. And I said, that's a great idea. I certainly never would have thought of it. And as I said in the last episode, I am going to be doing a future episode on specifically about moving to New Zealand. And so if any of you have any ideas, things that people should do, for instance, or if you have questions about moving to New Zealand, by all means, email me at Arthur. God, second time I've done that. Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarins.com, or you can send it to the Yahoo address, too. That still works. And I will include that in that episode. And similarly, if you want to make a phone comment or question about that topic, or any other topic for that matter, you can ring my U.S. listener line, which is 206-339-8413. But the next comment was from Trillion25, who says, a bit off subject, but I was just thinking about how you have said several times that you haven't met any expat Americans since you've been in New Zealand. If you're interested, there's a website I was recently introduced to, meetup.com, that helps people find others with similar interests. There is an expat Americans meetup in Auckland, and no, it's not a dating site, nor does it cost any money to join most meetups. I have joined a couple over here, and they have been fun. I'm not sure if this is your kind of thing, but I thought I'd let you know if you hadn't heard of it. Thank you. Trillion25 is actually one of my MySpace buddies, or friends, or whatever you call them. Anyway, I've heard of them, though they didn't exist when I moved to New Zealand. Actually, the internet barely existed. As it happens, I started to meet expat Americans once I started the blog and podcast, which has been a nice benefit. And none of that sort of thing existed, obviously, when I moved here. Internet was very expensive in those days. Well, actually, it's not very cheap here now either, but it was very slow, very almost difficult to come by in some ways, and very expensive. And nothing like that existed. I did actually look at the website for Meetup here in New Zealand, and I never went to any of the events or anything, probably because I just wasn't motivated. But I think that was in the early days of when I was, before I started my blog, I believe, which was about a year and a half ago, if I remember. And since then, after I started the blog and the podcast, I've started meeting more American expats here in New Zealand. And that's been good. It's been a good pace, too, because you know, if you meet a whole group of people, it can be a bit overwhelming. So this has been on a kind of a slower pace, I suppose. But anyway, those are the comments for this episode. In a, also kind of related to comments, well, not, it's not at all, I suppose. I'd like to congratulate Tom the Ramble Redhead. He mentioned that he competed in the mini marathon, and I'd like to congratulate him for that. He reported on Twitter, anyway, that he didn't feel the consequences as much as previous ones he's done, and he was really happy with how he did. So well done, Tom. And also congratulations to Holly from We're Mean Because You're Stupid, who's also been on this podcast. She completed her walk for animals, and she raised $2,500. So well done, Holly. I'd also like to send out hugs to Ricky from Foul Monkeys. Those of you who listen know why. Now, May is New Zealand Music Month, and I would love to play well-known New Zealand artists as my outro music, whatever. However, that, of course, can't be done due to copyright reasons. I hope that before this month is out, that I'll be able to do an episode about New Zealand music in some way, using just little clips under the fair use provisions for entertainment, education, and whatever, that stuff. But we'll see. It depends on how much time I have available, quite frankly. So because it's New Zealand Music Month, for my outro today, I'm playing a Podsafe music artist. Actually, it's very difficult to find New Zealand artists who release their music in a Podsafe way. So today I'm playing Monique Rhodes, whom I've played before. She is available on the Podsafe Music Network, which is music.podshow.com, and other places. I'll put her links in the show notes. And this song is called Queen of a World, and it's from her debut album Awakening, as was the previous song I played, Bearing Witness. But give it a listen. I encourage you to. And if any of you are happen to be New Zealand music musicians out there and you'd like to get some exposure, let me know. I'm always looking for Podsafe music to play. But that is it for today. Do leave a comment on my blog, amarins.com, or you can send an email to me at Arthur, A-R-T-H-U-R, at amarins.com, or the Yahoo address if you want. And of course, you can ring my U.S. listener line on 206-339-8413. But that is it for today. There is nothing after the outro music, so if you don't want to listen to music, you can stop. But do give it a listen. I think you might like it. But that's it for today, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
beating hard in the city every minute and night. I am rushing everywhere like a bird. Never any time to waste until it's too late. Am I somebody else's fool? And I travel all over the world, searching for the truth. I'm the queen of a world full of nothing. I'm the queen of a world full of nothing. I am turning my mind inward, hoping to find there's a truth that I have never known before. Queen of a world full of nothing. I'm the queen of a world full of nothing. There's a peace, there's a face and I see nothing there, 'cause I don't even remember her name. I'm not listening when she speaks, 'cause I can't even hear. With a heart that's numb with forgotten pain, from every country I see, I come back empty. I'm the queen of the world full of nothing. True self, so I can live again, so I can live again.